Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, as we discussed last week, lately, every time I say something against liberals or against the Democrats or against John Kerry specifically, somebody asked me, so Bob, now you're voting for George W. Bush. So I realized since I criticize Kerry and the liberals and the Democrats constantly, I have to repeatedly remind everyone that I will vote for George W. Bush if he pledges to never again nominate a judge who will keep legal the killing of innocent children. Okay, now for the election news out of, let's see, which state should we go to? Florida. Did you hear about the Democrat who arrived 15 minutes after the office closed for voter registration in Palm Beach County, Florida? He forced his way into the building when someone was leaving and dropped off 550 applications on behalf of a group of Muslims determined to get rid of Bush. That's the news story. The registrar said that a man showed up carrying a box of applications about 15 minutes after she locked the door to her office at 5 p.m., and she said she told him, must have been through the office door, she told him her office was closed, but he could mail the forms as long as they were postmarked by midnight that night. But she said that he was not satisfied and managed to slip inside the lobby when someone had left the office. He started hollering about disenfranchising people, and he thrust the box of registration forms at her, and she grabbed it and he split. So she said going through the applications, some were dated a long time ago, others were incomplete. And so there's a big problem in Florida now. Another Democrat, liberal, political activist behaving the way so many Democrats behave. Okay. This report should not be construed as an endorsement for George W. Bush. I will vote for Bush, by the way, if he pledges to never again nominate a pro-abortion judge. What else is happening in election news? Oh, yeah. Which state should we go to? Let's go to Florida. Out of Orlando, Florida, a group of protesters stormed and then ransacked a Bush-Cheney headquarters building in Florida. According to Local 6 News, several people from the group of 100 Orlando protesters face possible assault charges after the group forced their way inside the Republican headquarters office. While in the building, some of the protesters drew horns and a mustache on a poster of President George W. Bush and poured piles of letters in the office onto the floor. We told them to leave. They broke the law, Republican headquarters volunteer Mike Broom said. All right, so that seems to be happening around the country, doesn't it? Democratic activists behaving like liberals, the beautiful people. This report should not be construed as an endorsement for George W. Bush. I will vote for Bush if he pledges to never again nominate a pro-abortion judge. Okay, the second of the presidential debates was held Friday night, and I've got the transcript here of one answer that George W. Bush gave. He was asked if there were a vacancy in the Supreme Court and if he had the opportunity to fill that position, who would he choose and why? And of course, he didn't give any names. He didn't mention Alberto Gonzalez, his chief legal counsel that he brought from the Texas, the chief justice of the Texas Supreme Court to the White House, who's strongly pro-abortion, and Bush helped him to get onto the Texas Supreme Court as the Chief Justice. But and he's the first name that comes up when people offer people at the White House. White House sources suggest that the short list of possible nominees begins with Alberto Gonzalez. And hopefully that would not be Bush's nominee, since he's radically pro-abortion. But in his answer, what kind of judge would he choose and why, he said two things. Both were rather disconcerting. The worst thing that he said was that he has no litmus test. He says, no litmus test, except for how they interpret the Constitution. He wants them to be strict constructionists, not to put their own personal opinion into the law, but just whatever the Constitution said, that's how judges should rule. And then he gave an example of the Dred Scott case back in the 1850s, which completely nullified his answer, that he would choose judges, only judges who would strictly interpret the Constitution. And then he said the Dred Scott judges, they were terrible. They were terrible because they allowed slavery. And it is peculiar, since Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution codified slavery and explained that people who were within the United States who were not free people, people who were slaves, would be counted as three-fifths of a person for purposes of representatives in the House or for purposes of government appropriations. How much money would a state get? Well, how many people do they have? Well, count blacks three-fifths of a person. And so the Dred Scott case, the judges in the Dred Scott case should not have upheld slavery being evil. And what they should have done is said, well, the Constitution supports this immoral institution we have of slavery. And since we do not want to put our own personal authority and reputations behind the continuation of slavery, we are resigning. That's what they should have done. We are resigning. But what they did actually is they upheld the Constitution. They did not bring their personal opinion to that case. They upheld the Constitution strictly. They were strict constructionists. And so it's peculiar that George W. Bush quoted the Dred Scott case, saying that it was so terrible that Supreme Court justices, that they upheld slavery, and they should have rather gone by the Constitution, which is, I've said on this show, not often, but occasionally, on and off for 12 years, 13 years, that it seems like many of those in the federal government have never even read the Constitution, never even read it, never got past Article 1. And here's a case where the president, it's somewhat bizarre, but that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it was when he said he has no litmus test. Now, what does that mean, a litmus test? Well, in the context of Supreme Court justices, it means that a Republican president will nominate pro-abortion judges. That's what that means. That has no other meaning. In American politics, in the 20th and 21st centuries, that phrase has no other meaning. No litmus test except for how they interpret the Constitution. And this, I predicted this last week with the caller we had, Gordon, and in previous shows where we talked about Bush's long, tragic record of nominating pro-abortion judges and Planned Parenthood still getting tens of millions of dollars a year from the federal government. And Planned Parenthood is the largest single child-killing organization in the country. And, yeah, the tens of millions of dollars they get every year from Title X funding and, what, Title 19, that's not supposed to be used to promote abortion. They're supposed to use that for other things, like maybe paying the abortion a salary, maybe. I don't know. But it's somewhat bizarre. It'd be like giving Saddam Hussein millions of dollars and saying, now, don't use this for anything naughty. And he says, oh, I won't. So with the Republicans having so many victories over decades now, the U.S. Supreme Court, 7 out of the 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court have been appointed by Republican presidents, and the court is strongly pro-abortion. And 7 out of the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices have been appointed by Republican presidents, and the court is strongly pro-homosexual behavior, homosexual agenda. With 7 out of the 9 justices appointed by Republican presidents, the court is strongly pro-supportive of our godless education system and teaching basically the misinformation given to kids, the propaganda that they've evolved from animals, and denying to millions of students the education, the overwhelming scientific evidence that they were created, specially created, and did not evolve from animals. And on and on and on. So anyway, we might make some political calculation. By the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. We might make a political calculation and say, you know, it's worth it to kill some kids to get a Republican victory. That's worth it. Because look at all the Republicans will do for us. But when you look, how does it warm your heart? Does it warm your heart? And so a lot of Christians and pro-lifers get mesmerized. Like a Republican candidate will say, I voted for the ban on partial birth abortion. And their eyes glaze over. And they say, he voted for the ban on partial birth abortion. We will support him. But now think about that. How many lives will that save? Well, I'll give you a choice. The ban on partial birth abortion, will it save will it save 0 children who are to be killed by abortion, or more than 0? That's your choice. That's your selection. See if you can choose. Multiple choice. The ban on partial birth abortion, will it save 0 children who are to be killed by abortion, or will it save more than 0? Think about that. Now, how many will it save? The ban on partial birth abortion says you cannot kill children with this method. That's it. You cannot kill children with this method. Now, Warren Hearn in Boulder, the late-term abortionist who wrote the textbook, literally, on abortion. It's called Abortion Practice. And in there, he described how he kills late-term babies, 6, 7, 8 months, up to 9 months, where he uses an ultrasound, and he takes a needle, and there is a poison in the needle, and he injects the needle into the mother's abdomen and into the sac that contains the baby, houses the baby, into the baby's chest, and the tip of the needle, when it gets into the cardiac sac, the baby's heart, then he releases the poison, and within seconds, the baby dies. And then they remove the baby. So that's one of a number of ways of killing unborn babies. That's one of a number of ways. That's a rather efficient way. Now, does the ban on partial birth abortion stop abortionists from killing late-term babies? No, it doesn't. So that the ban, it's been in effect for some time now, right? Now, I haven't heard of, and it'd be hard to get the hard statistics, but I haven't heard of the number of babies now that have been saved because of that ban. But if some if some guy told his girlfriend he'd leave her if she didn't abort the baby, or if some woman decided that her boyfriend has cheated on her and she's going to kill the baby, or some woman has decided that she, after all, she doesn't want to ruin her career at college by having to take care of a baby, and she's 6 months pregnant. She goes to an abortion mill. She goes to George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas. Is he going to now turn her away because of the ban on partial birth abortion? Of course not. No. No, that ban, as far as we can tell, reasonably, as far as directly saving the life of a child, maybe it'll give some kind of momentum, right? That's a political calculation. We could think about that in a moment. But as far as directly saving the life of a child because it's outlawed some, the killing of some children, no, it doesn't. You can still kill the child, just do it a different way. So many of those who are in the trenches of the pro-life battle, they did not get very excited about the ban on partial birth abortion. Why? Well, take somebody like Tom Daschle, maybe. Now, I'm not an expert on Tom Daschle, but he's a pro-abort, right? He lies, says he's personally pro-life. He's a liar. He's a pro-abort. But somebody like him, he could vote for the ban on partial birth abortion. And then he could go back to his constituents and say, I am against partial birth abortion. Then all the mediocre Christians, all the backslidden Christians, all the worldly Christians, they could look at that, all the people who like to, you know, they're concerned about the whales and they're concerned about the deer and the elk, but they don't care much about unborn children who are killed. All those people can say, well, look, Tom Daschle, he's a good guy. He even stopped partial birth abortion, whatever that is. So we're going to vote him because he's not an extremist. And what the whole partial birth abortion ban did, what the whole deal accomplished, was to muddy the waters, to confuse everyone. Who's against abortion? Who's for abortion? I don't know. It's too confusing. Now, Kerry had to be even against the ban on partial birth abortion because he's running for president. And he knew that to get the support of the NOW, the National Organization of Witches, women, and to get the support of the feminists, the homosexuals, Planned Parenthood, he had to toe the line and be absolutely radical on killing children. So he would be against the ban on partial birth abortion, and Bush was for it. And anyone who's against that ban, like let's say anybody who's against that ban it's beyond any doubt that this person's heart is so hard against God and they're like stone hatred against children. And so the people who are against banning partial birth abortion, they're the most obvious that they're evil and wicked. And even your typical agnostic should be able to see that we're talking about a murderer. And so we have who? Rudy Giuliani, who supports even partial birth abortion. Couldn't be worse. Couldn't be worse. And the Republicans have convinced the conservative Christians just to be, in love with Rudy Giuliani. He's just the greatest guy, isn't he? He's just so great. He tells those just heartwarming stories about the firemen and the police and 9/11. And he's such a great guy. And we're so proud to have him speaking during prime time with a national audience to represent the Republican Party. And so as we continue to promote the careers and the leadership of men like Rudy Giuliani, we're bound to stop abortion one of these days, any day now, where it's about to hit. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. In Colorado Springs, Richard's speak your mind.
How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
I too am against like people like Pete Kors, who promote their homosexual agenda. I will not vote for that guy.
And you and Richard, I guess you mean because Kors, the company Kors, the brewery, gives benefits to homosexual partners and all.
But they also stage some kind of events, homosexual events.
Well, Lager. Have you ever heard of Lager?
No.
Yeah, that's at Kors. If you work at Kors and you're a lesbian or homosexual, you could join Lager, lesbians and gays and equal rights or something. Recreational opportunity. I forget exactly what it stands for, but Lager is the name of the group.
And also, like you say, Rudy Giuliani, he just upset me the most by being able to speak at the convention period.
Yeah, that was sad. And Richard, your voice is going. So
the only thing I'm having problems with is the presidential race.
Okay, could you speak louder then?
Okay. Who should I vote for?
It sounds like Darth Vader. Who should you vote for?
Yes.
Well, Richard, in Colorado, the Constitution Party, they're on the ballot, right? And they are strongly against abortion and homosexuality, and they support basically a biblical worldview. They don't have a chance of winning, but they're on the ballot, and it's never wrong to do right. And if we do evil, that good may come of it. We always miscalculate, and good never comes of it.
How do we know it's actually George Bush and not the people who surround him?
All right. That's Richard, thank you. If you could continue listening on the air, I'll answer that. George W. Bush has been defending pro-abortion judges for his whole political career. And he's nominated plenty of them. He helped to ruin the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges. And in the latest debate Friday night, he said he does not have a litmus test. And that means that he considers judges who are pro-abortion to be qualified. And he would nominate a pro-abortion judge if other things being equal, if he liked the guy. So that, to me, we've been told, Christian pro-lifers have been told this, to not overlook the fact that the Republican running for office has a track record of being pro-abortion and even says that he will nominate pro-abortion judges. Overlook that because if we keep putting Republican presidents in office, the Supreme Court will eventually be pro-life. Well, we've been doing this now for 30 years, and we got almost the entire Supreme Court. We have 7 of 9 of them, and not one believes that the unborn child has a right to live and that the killing of unborn children needs to be stopped by the government. Not one believes that. So there comes a point, you know, they say the definition of being insane is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. Let's go to Larned, Kansas. Kirk, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Kirk.
Okay, if you believe that Adam and Eve was created by God and now it's procreation and God doesn't, you know, create anymore, you know
right.
what I mean? Now
yeah.
it's just
yes.
it's procreation. Then,
right.
You know, because I was talking to someone about that and they said, they were saying, well, every birth's a miracle. And then I said, and this lady couldn't get pregnant. And I was like, why, she can't have a miracle, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, yeah, but King, you know, isn't King David right that he knitted me in his womb and this and that, you know? And
yeah, that's right. Kirk, I think a lot of people won't know what you're talking about, but we've mentioned on this show that God created the natural order of, you know, the world, animals, plants, trees. When bees pollinate flowers, that's not a miracle. It's the way God made flowers so they could reproduce. And when animals reproduce sexually, it's not a miracle. It's the way God made animals and human beings. He made us so that even And God forbid, but even if a rapist were to attack a woman, he could impregnate her. It's not a miracle. It's nature. And if you do it, if two unmarried people come together and she gets pregnant, it's not a miracle. It's a sin. So it's not a miracle getting pregnant. It's the way God made us. Miracles are when things happen that suspend the laws of physics and biology and that supersede the laws of biology and physics. Those are miracles. So go ahead. So some people don't understand that.
Yeah, but it isn't in the, they say in the Bible or in Psalms, wherever King David said, God knitted me in his womb.
Psalm 139 womb. Describes fetology, the way a baby develops in the womb. It does. What does?
But what they're trying to say is, see, God had a hand in it because God was.
God had a hand in it. He designed how a baby would be formed in the womb.
Yeah, but, I mean, the people take it as if every baby. God said, okay, this is how, you know, this is going to happen.
So the baby who's born with spina bifida, God was forming the baby in the womb, and he was distracted and he blew it.
Yeah, he messed up.
Of course not. That's a result of sin. We reproduce by the laws of biology. God created in 6 days and then he rested. He rested. And the creation was able to continue because God made it so that it could function. He didn't make it so that it wouldn't work. God doesn't get personally involved in a crime like a despicable crime like a rape and say, "Okay, well, I'm gonna give this woman the blessing of a baby." God doesn't do that. That's the perverted rapist who needs to be. Who Christians need to give the world enough wisdom to know that we have to kill the rapist and love the baby. But liberals, they want to kill the baby and love and protect and understand the rapist. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Thank you very much, Kirk.
All right, thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate it. Last call in Denver. Scott, speak your mind.
Yes. You know, I just wanted to say, Bob, I agree with you about the Republicans, but my trouble is, you know, until Jesus Christ comes back and returns, I don't think you're going to get a choice between a perfect man and a non-perfect man.
And Scott, you just won the argument if I was saying you need a perfect man to vote for. But what I said was if Bush will make a pledge to stop nominating judges who will kill children, then I'd vote for him. I'm not holding out for a perfect man. There are millions of people who say that they're against judges who keep child killing legal. I wish Bush was one of those.
Right, but don't you still feel you need to vote somewhere?
Well, I just pointed out if anyone feels that, then they in Colorado they could vote for the Constitution Party candidate who's running for president on the ballot.
Correct.
Or write somebody in. But no, I don't feel that you have to choose the lesser of evils because you can't do evil that good may come of it. I mean, you could do that, but good will never come of it. It doesn't work.
Right. But by the same token, voting for the Constitution Party, well, they might be right on this particular deal. They'll never come close to winning.
And as long as pro-life Christians keep putting the Republican back in office, the Republican Party will always tolerate the killing of innocent children. Thank you so much, Scott, for your call. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school for kids age 2.5 years to 12th grade. Their phone number, 303-431-5653.